We're back to the Svasamas. So I wrote I'm gonna read out to you over here. Let me just get a Navi, give me 1 second. Yeah. Ready to roll, Josh?
Ready to roll.
All right.
If we were really tech savvy, the green one's on our scroll app.
We get it on.
That may take us so long.
I know, yeah, we're going to get there, I think. Well, I hope we won't have to get there. But. So we're going to do, hey, David's on. That's great. Let's give him a second. Hello, Rav David. Greetings to you.
Hello, Rav David. Greetings to you, too.
Nice to see you. We're about to start, just in time. So next week, what night are we? Thursday night. Next week, this time is going to be almost the end of Tisha B'Av. But Wednesday night is coming Wednesday night, so there won't be class. But it's coming Wednesday night, we're going to be sitting on the floor, wherever we are, and we're going to be reading Eicha. Now, how does Eicha start? What's the beginning, the first three words of Eicha? Like, what you would say is like description of what's about to come. What do you say, Rav David?
First words, Eicha. I can go get my copy. Do we need the copy?
No. It's just one line. It just listen. I'll read it out loud.
Yeah, I don't remember. I haven't read it yet.
First line of Eicha. Eicha Yashva Vada.
Yeah.
It's
24 years ago. I was at the wall, sitting on the stone steps on Erev Tisha B'Av to listen to Eicha. Now that was sitting on the stones.
That's the real deal. That was the real thing. Wow.
That was the real thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Sat with a group of Sephardim. It's very interesting.
Wow. Harry Lachaim.
Yeah.
Harry's doing the same thing.
You've done it too?
No. Kerry just lifted up his water bottle. So.
Oh, I was thinking,
I am. Yeah. Who knows what Kerry's got in there?
I did this 24 years ago also.
There we go.
Probably just water. It can't have any wine in it. So it's just
That's
water.
Right. No wine in it now. Yeah, you could have scotch. Anyways, let's make a start. Eicha Yashva Vada. How is it that the city of Yerushalayim, mm-hmm. City of Jerusalem is sitting bada, in solitude, sitting alone. How is it that the city of Yerushalayim is sitting alone? So this is and it goes on to say the city that was great with people has become like a widow. You have the city of Yerushalayim, which was teeming with people. It was the epicenter. That's where it all was. Where it all happened. Right now, Eicha starts off, and this is how the Book of Lamentations starts off with this, so to speak, this cry. Like, how could it be that the city sitting alone, but that it's in solitude? And the Medrash talks about it, how it goes on and expounds on it, but we need to understand, what does this mean? That Yerushalayim is sitting in solitude. What does this mean? I mean, if you go to Yerushalayim today, you're going to see a lot of people. You're going to see a lot of people in Yerushalayim. The place is teeming with people. You go there on a holiday season, you go to Sukkos, you go there on a busy time, the place is bumper to bumper. You can't move over there. So what does this mean that, and in Yerushalayim today, there's going to be people sitting on the floor who are going to be crying out and saying, how is it that Yerushalayim is sitting in solitude? What's going on? Look at all the people. So what exactly are we missing? Right? That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Agree, Josh?
Agree.
What does this mean, solitude? What do you say? I want to hear from you. What do you say about this? It's a very, very powerful Svasam. It's very clear. By the way, as an aside, it's a great day today because I listen a lot, as you know, to Rav Moshe Shapiro. Now, I've never heard him quote. I've heard him for years, and I've never heard him quote a Svasam. But I've heard a lot of things he says, I see them in Svasam. So I'm pretty sure that a lot of it is baked into, well, you know, when Robert Lapiansky was here, I asked him about it. by the Moshe Shapiro, who used to quote this Hassan. He told me he never heard him quote him, but he felt like everything was baked in. You know, it was like, that was like the foundation of a lot of his teachings. And on my way here, I'm listening to class number 171 in the series that I'm listening to. And he quoted this Hassan. So I was like, yay, there we go. I knew it.
Finally,
the secret's out. You know where it's all coming from. It was nice to hear. So, and he actually, the share he gave was one of those amazing, not coincidence, the opposite, one of those amazing divine providence. He gave a share, like, or on a random topic on what we're about to talk about tonight, from the Svasamas. So pretty good. So the Svasamas, it's a powerful piece. But before I say the Svasamas, you tell me, what do we have to say? If this is the cry of Eicha, the Eicha Yashvava, then how is it that Yerushalayim is alone? How is it that we are alone? What's alone about us? You know, maybe during COVID, we understood a little bit what it means to be alone. Stuck, you know, we're home, still going, but not like it used to be. You know, we see people a little bit, and maybe we understand it alone, but on a regular day, what does it mean that we're alone? What does it mean Yerushalayim is alone?
Go ahead, Carrie.
Well, let's do one at a time. Carrie, do you want to say first, and then I'll listen to Rav David.
The Shekhinah didn't seem to be there.
Oh, okay. So the Shekhinah is not there. The divine presence is not there. And that you would have to say would make us alone. We'd have to define that. What that means in that day. You know, Rav David, what did you want to say?
I was going to say that too. So we're in.
All right, we're in a
Josh. Great minds are thinking alike.
You conquer, okay. So everybody conquers. But we do need to define what it means that the divine presence, the Shekhinah not being there, means that it's alone. What do you mean? What's alone about? So he says like this. Eicha Yashav Adonai, it's this one over here. I'm going to read to you a few of the words. He says, Ki Eicha Simchas Bnei Yisrael B'Yerushalayim. What was the main joy that we had when we were in Yerushalayim? Imagine the Beis HaMikdash was up. And we went there for Sukkot. We went there for Pesach. What was the joy that we experienced? The joy was Leah's Davuk Meshorish Aliyah. Yerushalayim was a city where you felt connected to what's above. You felt connected to what's above. That was really what Yerushalayim was. Yerushalayim is not just a nice city. It's not just a mystical city, whatever you want to call it. Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim and the whole thing, what they were doing were, it was a place that you felt connected between heaven and earth. That means like this, if we would put it down like this. So we know that Bereishis, in the beginning, God created heaven, he created earth. Now, do these two things called heaven and earth ever meet? Answer it, well, sort of not. On their own, they don't. But there is a place in the world which binds them together. That place is Yerushalayim. That place is the Beis HaMikdash. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, then Yerushalayim wasn't just a city like it is today. It could be teeming with people. But you know what it's alone from? It's alone from its source. It's cut off from its source. It's as if you take a tree, take a branch, pull off the branch. Now, if you look on this branch, you're going to see there's a lot of leaves. So you ask, are these leaves alone? Are they in solitude? What do you mean? There's 50 leaves on this branch together with it. But if you understand that this branch is not connected to its source anymore, it's sort of dead. So this branch is alone. It's alone from its source of life. It's alone from its connection. It's alone from what's on top of it, from what's beyond. So this is what it means that how is it that we're living today disconnected from our source? Now, if I were just add on one more piece over here, just for the beginning, let's say it like this. We're alive today. Now, what keeps us alive? What is the, if I'd ask you that question, I'm going to ask you right now. What is it that's keeping us alive? Where is life? Is life down here? Is life up there? Is it in heaven or is it earth? And what is it that's keeping us alive? What's sustaining us today? Josh, what do you say?
The Almighty.
The Almighty. Connected to the Almighty within the Shaman. That means, right, I think we're all going to concur to that. Connection to the Almighty, he's the source of life. Connection to God is what is sustaining us. Now, if we're cut off from our source of life, and what should happen to us? What would the natural equation be that if the source of life is from above, we're cut off from above because the base of Mikdash was destroyed, and now we're in solitude. What should happen?
We should no longer exist.
We should no longer exist. And you know something? You know what the Vilna Gaon says? The Vilna Gaon says that we don't. He says that we're dead. The Vilna Gaon, how does that sound? The Vilna Gaon writes in one of his books, and I heard this from Rav Moshe Shapiro a couple times. He writes something to the effect of, from the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Jewish nation died and are currently awaiting resurrection of the dead. That's what he writes. Isn't that scary? That's what he writes. He writes, we're pretty much dead. You know, we look like we're alive and kicking, but really, we're cut off from our source. And when we're cut off from our source, we're not really connected. Don't leave right now, because I need to say part two. So, hang in there. But part one is that we're cut off, and that's what it says in Eichel. We're in solitude. I mean, we're disconnected from our source. Yerushalayim, with the Beis Hamikdash, was the glue that bound us to the Almighty, and that glue is gone. So we're dead, and we're pending resurrection. That's it. That's what we got. So if I would stop right here, pretty depressing, right? Pretty depressing. And the long and short of it is, yes, you're right. And that is exactly what we should be focusing on at this time. We should be focusing on the fact that we are disconnected from our source. You know, if I would want to leave it there, I don't think that would be a good thing to do. But I think if we just dwell on it for a minute and think to ourselves that we are disconnected. Now, again, like I say, obviously that's not completely true. But in a very basic sense, that is true. So everybody wants to know like this time of year. What's the big deal that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? Right? Somebody asks you. Somebody meets you in the street. Next time you're out, if you go out. And somebody asks you, you guys are crying over a destruction of a temple that was 2,000 years ago. Move on. You know, seriously, move on. What's the big deal? What are you, you gonna sit on the floor and take off your shoes and fast for a whole day and mourn a building that is gone? What's the big deal? Take it easy. Everyone seems to be fine. Live and kick. Based on what we just learned, what would your response be? What would your answer be to that person? That person could be yourself. We question it subconsciously too. Having learned what we just learned, what is the answer to that question? What's the big deal with what's going on? With the lack of a symbol?
It's a big deal.
Cut off from the source. No longer able to.
That's right.
Access it.
That's right. We're cut off from the source. Then we have nothing. Mm-hmm. At this point, again, stay on for part two, but at this point, the answer would be, we're cut off? What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm not crying about something that happened 2,000 years ago. I'm crying that for the last 2,000 years, the Jewish nation is half dead. The Jewish nation is not connected the way we should be to what's going on above. And that's it. And that's why I'm crying. Because I'm crying because I've been, as if my foot has been disconnected from my head. This branch has been taken off the tree. And that is a valid response. Mm-hmm. Now, let's hope this Fasamas is going to bail us out of here, because this sounds a little too much, or a little too sharp. So let's try and soften it. Let's soften it a little bit. Let's do some pushback. I'm doing a little bit of a different style tonight. A little more candid. But let's have like a back and forth. So, come on. You're not going to tell me that we're disconnected. If we're disconnected, then we're done. There wouldn't be resurrection. There wouldn't be Mashiach. There wouldn't be a point in doing mitzvahs and praying and learning. If the connection is over, once the branch is off the tree, you can't put it back. So if you're telling me that we're really cut off and we're dead, then the game's over. Can't be that the game is over. Right? The game is not over at all. So step number one is to say that we're cut off. And that's what it means, that we're sitting alone. But then we need to say, question and say, well, wait a second. It can't be so cut off. It can't be so cut off. Because if, yeah, then there would be nothing left. So we need to say something in the middle. And what we're going to say is, this Fasam is right. Like this. There's two different pieces over here. But there's a verse in Eicha which says like this. It's verse chapter 1, verse 7. It says like this. It says, Jerusalem recalled the days of her suffering and sorrow, all the treasures that were hers in the days of old. That means that we say that Jerusalem is alone. Now, not just is Jerusalem alone, but Jerusalem is having these memories of the days of suffering and sorrow, and it was also remembering all the treasure that belonged to Jerusalem in the days of old. That means like this. You imagine let's give an example of a husband and wife, and they unfortunately have to split up. And they had some good times in the past, and each one of them is sitting alone, and they're sitting in a. Can I ask you a favor to do? Sit just maybe on the other side. Is that okay? Just because there's people on the Zoom here. So. Is that good?
Yep.
Thank you. Sorry. So you have the husband and wife are sitting alone in other sides of the world, and they're sitting and they're remembering the days of old. The good times, they remember the fighting, they remember the good times, they remember the vacations. They remember, you know, you sit down, you're each alone, you're disconnected, and you're thinking of, I remember the good days, I remember the bad days. So Yerushalayim does the same thing. Yerushalayim is alone. Like we said, Yerushalayim is cut up. But Yerushalayim, the concept of Yerushalayim, is remembering the days that were. It's remembering when the Jews used to come to visit, and they used to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and they used to bring up sacrifices, and the Levim used to sing. And it was the connection. It remembers those days of connection. So the Sfasemes writes something beautiful. You can only remember, and this is a fundamental, you can only remember something that's in you. You can never remember something that's not inside you. That means you could have a memory that you forgot about. And then a year later, you could think back and recall, oh, right, I remember that one time we did this. Something which you never did, which you never saw, which you never experienced, was never a part of you. It's not going to help you to try and remember it. You don't have it. If something is cut off, it's over. If we remember what was, what does that tell me? If Yerushalayim remembers what was, if the Jew remembers what was, what that tells me is that this connection is still there. It's just covered with cover after cover after cover, to the point that Yerushalayim needs to remember, because it's not at the forefront of his memory. Because if you look on the outside, you see a disconnected Yerushalayim. But if you would be able to think deep, you would recall deep inside me that is still a lifeline that to the outsider, to the spiritual onlooker, would look gone. But we remember. We remember. That means that there's something niggling inside us that says that, wait a second, I am connected to something else. Now, it's hazy, and we don't know what it is, and we sort of grapple with it. It's a very beautiful, it's profound what we're saying. What was it? Well, I hope I'm making sense. I'm trying to convey a more of an emotion. We're living in exile today, and one of the hardest things we have is to mourn for the Beis HaMikdash, right? I think anybody who's honest would tell you that it's a hard thing to do. You know, Rosh Hashanah is easy, not easy, but we could connect to Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, we connect to Hanukkah, we could connect to Purim, we connect to. You know, Tisha B'Av is a hard one. To connect to something, like we said, so many years ago, to connect to miss something that we never saw. Me and you never saw the Beis HaMikdash. All the scenes that we're describing and the beauty of the festivals and the sight, we didn't see it. We did not see this. We haven't seen all of this. So what are we missing? What part of it? What exactly are we missing here? We never saw it. We don't know what to miss. The answer is like this, that we did see it because our soul is connected to it today. And our soul is cover after cover after cover, which is blocking. But our soul every so often wakes up and says, tells us in our subconscious that, you know, you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not home. You're not supposed to be here. It's supposed to be like a different reality. we have to realize that when we have these thoughts that come from a deep place, that this is what it means that Jerusalem recalled all the treasures that were hers in the days of old. That means that we all, deep down, recall it. And we, like the Svasama is right, you can only recall something that you had. You never had it. You're not going to recall it. If we recall, our soul is telling us that it's something that we're missing. What that tells us is that deep down our soul knows because it's still connected. Our soul, our neshama knows that Yerushalayim, or the Beis HaMikdash, is home. And that was where we connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that connection is still there. It's just so covered over that to the onlooker, it looks as if it's gone. It looks as if we're dead. But God forbid to say that we're really dead. Because if we're really dead, he can't have a resurrection. We can't have a hope to come back. So the definition, that what we would say is like this. The cry that we have in Tisha B'Av is a cry of we're dead. The connection's gone. We lost all apparent connection. But on the other hand, there's this paradox. On the other hand, we're sitting and crying about it. And why are we crying about it? Because I sort of still know that I am connected to that. But I can't grasp it. I can't touch it. And where is Mashiach? I don't see him. But he seems to be somewhere, because if he wouldn't be somewhere, and if my soul wouldn't be connected somehow to this, then what am I, how would I be able to cry about? So the Svasama is right, something unbelievable. It's two ways to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two ways to connect. You could connect them by singing. Singing his praises. And you could connect them by crying that you're not connected to him. When you're crying that you're not connected to him, by definition, what you're saying is that I am connected. Right? Does that sound crazy? It's a little bit of a brain twister. That means if I'm crying about my lack of connection, I'm shedding tears today, whether we shed tears, whether we don't shed tears, but if I'm mourning something that I don't have, that in itself tells me that I have something to do with that thing. But something which I have nothing to do with. We don't mourn about something that we have nothing to do with. Something that's not existent in our lives. If we're mourning about something, that tells me that deep inside me, I know that I am connected to this thing. And I still am today. But I'm mourning the fact that I don't see it and I can't feel it. And there's so many walls and so many blockages. But if I'm crying about it, that tells me that I am connected. And if I, deep down, my soul knows, my soul tells me on Tisha B'Av that you don't even know what you're missing. You think this is the life? You just wait until I show you what's really the life. You wait till Mashiach comes. You wait till I show you what it means to have a Beis HaMikdash, to be connected, to feel the source, to feel the life, to feel that Torah is the life, that mitzvahs are the life. If we cry about it, that means that we're connected, because otherwise you don't cry. But I'm crying because I don't feel the connection, but the very fact that I'm crying says that that connection is there, I just don't feel it. Does that, let's just pause here for a minute. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. You write something amazing. You write that there are more than two books that we have, but of the five Megillahs that we have, one of them is called Shir HaShirim, and the other one is Eicha. Shir HaShirim is the holiest of holy. That's what Shlomo HaMelech and Solomon wrote. Which we learned together and on Sunday mornings. And it's the holiest of holy. It's a song. It's a love song between the Jewish nation and God. That's what it is. Take a look at it. I'm sure you've all seen it. It's a love song of connection, of bonding, of yearning between us and God. And then we have another book, which we would say is just the opposite. The other book is called Eicha, the Book of Lamentations. It's a book which talks about that we're in solitude and we're cut off and we're dead and the sorrows and persecutions. And if you would ask me, I would say that these two books are about as far on the other side of the spectrum as possible. On the one hand, you got on the Shir HaShirim is like on our heyday. Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, is when we were doing the best. The days of King Solomon were the days where it was almost like Mashiach. And that was when we sang this love song between us and God, and how we're like husband and wife almost, so without getting into it. That was the heyday. That was our best day. And then at the very bottom is this Book of Lamentations, the Book of Eicha, where we talk about how everything's over, everything's gone, we lost it all, everything is destroyed, we messed up, and this connection is over. Now you think these two books are on one end, and the one of them is on the other. Now the Svasamas in his classic style writes, it's not true. They're both saying the same thing. They're just saying it in two different ways. They're both talking about the same thing. They're both talking about our connection with them. One way to say that we're connected is by saying, I'm going to sing you a song about my connection. The other way to say my connection to you is by mourning and crying that I don't feel that connection. But that is in itself a statement of my connection to you. Because if I'm not connected, why am I crying? So if I spend 2,000 years weeping over what I don't have, that in itself tells me that's the witness that I do have. So the Song of Songs and the Lamentations are really two sides of the same coin. They're both talking about a connection. Just one is talking about the joy of the connection, and one is talking about the sadness when that connection isn't there. But it's two sides of the same coin. They're both talking about our connection that we still have today. Which one would we prefer to, which way would we prefer to connect? Through songs or through lamentations?
We prefer Shira Shirim.
Right. We would take Shira Shirim any day. That is what we're crying about. We're crying, can I say it a different way? I think this is a good way to say it. We're crying on Tisha B'Av that we're not connecting to Hashem through the Shira Shirim. And that we need to connect them through the Eicha track. But don't make a mistake and think that you're not connected. You're crying that the way Hashem made us, the only lifeline we have to connect them today is by talking all day about the thing that we used to have that we don't have anymore. But if only we could connect you through song, only we could connect you through joy, through Leviam singing in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the way we would prefer. Hashem said, you didn't behave. You didn't have virus, I'm going to have to send you home. I'm going to have to destroy this path of connection. And you're going to have to connect to me by every single year and every single day crying about this lack of connection. But you're still connected. You're just going to have to do it through the crying path and not through the song. Very, very powerful. So he says like this. So let's see if we could add on a piece of it. Let's talk a little bit about Emunah. About faith. There's a verse that says in Yeshaya, the book of Isaiah, Yeshaya, where he talks all about the Beis HaMikdash, the good times and the bad times, the rebukes. And he writes over there a verse, and he writes another Eicha. He starts with, there's three Eichas that we have in the Torah. One of them is in this week's Torah portion, where Moshe Rabbeinu writes Eicha. And then we have an Eicha, Book of Lamentations, and then we have one in Yerushalayim. He writes like this, Eicha hosa lezona. How were we like a prostitute? Kirya ne'amana, the city that was faithful. So, very interesting over here. That means it describes Yerushalayim as a city that is faithful. You have to understand what that means. And it describes that, how did that faithful city become like a prostitute? So he writes like this, and this is another fundamental. What does it mean, Amun? When we talk about faith, what does faith mean? How would you define faith? I believe I'm trusting in somebody else. I have faith in you. I trust you. I'm willing to rely on you. Now, like this, if you would see clearly, I'll give you an example. Imagine I'm holding a child. I'm holding a two-year-old. And this two-year-old is looking up to me and he sees that father's holding him. Does this child have faith that I'm holding him? Is that the way you would say it? You wouldn't say that the child has faith that he's holding him. He sees. Here's my hands in here. Look up. Dad's holding him. You don't need faith when you see it. You don't need faith. I don't need to believe that I'm seeing you, that I'm seeing you. I see you. I don't need to believe that I'm actually seeing you. Where does faith come in? The definition of faith would be, if, imagine back to, I'm holding the child, and the child is blindfolded, and the child can't see a thing. But the child feels like he's being held, and the child believes that the person holding him is his father, and the father, and that person is not going to drop. That is what you would call faith. Faith would mean when you don't see, but you believe and trust that this thing that you believe in will carry you, will take care of you. If you see it, you don't need faith. You see it, you see it. I don't need to believe something that I see. I need to believe in something where I'm blindfolded. And I need to believe and trust that even though I don't see it, that we're still, that you're still going to take care of. So he writes like this. Yerushalayim was the city where you went to the city of Yerushalayim, your emunah was easy. Your faith was easy. What you felt over there wasn't open. But what you felt over there, that you felt so clearly over there that we're loyalty, you know, where we're coming from, where's our source? Who's really holding us? What's our real lifeline? What's really, now you went to Yerushalayim in the days of old, that's what you felt. And Yerushalayim is like the city of Amunah. Anybody who wanted Amunah, you go to Yerushalayim and you'll find Amunah over there because you can't miss it. You can't miss Amunah in Yerushalayim. But when it becomes disconnected, then this loyal city, it's like it's cut up. And it's like a prostitute. It's like, so to speak, a prostitute breaks the loyalty and goes off, does other stuff. So when we break this connection, then it's as if this loyalty has been broken, because we've gone somewhere else. However, having said that, does that mean that it's over? God forbid, does that mean that it's over? Because our emunah today is just so much harder. The less we see, the harder it is to have emunah, and the bigger deal it is when you do have emunah. That means if the definition of emunah is faith in something I can't see, but I believe in it, the more you see it, the less deal it is to believe, like I said. When you're in Yerushalayim emunah was easy. Yerushalayim was the city of faith, because it was clear over there what was really holding you. But when that loyalty is gone, and Hashem kicks you out, so to speak, it destroys that connection. But deep down, we still feel that I think I know where that I'm still connected to God. I recall the days of old. I recall my soul longs to what was, that source. I need to have a lot of emunah now, faith to live my life. Let me put it like this. We have two choices in how to live our lives. We can live our lives based on what we see in front of our eyes. What we see in front of our eyes is, God forbid, that there's no God. That this world is just a world where you play and have fun. And enjoy it, make the most of it, try and make some money along the way, have some fun, and do your thing, and you die, you die. That would be one track how to live the world. And many people that do that track. The other track is like this. To live life based on a belief. Now, where is that belief coming from? Is a belief in a higher force, in a God, believe that everything is really sourced in spirituality, that really I'm connected to the upper worlds, to things that are beyond, and to keep that connection going, I need to follow a whole set of rules. Where is that belief coming from? Where do I get that belief from? So if you want, we could prove it. But we're not going to do that now. And I don't want to do that. I don't think that's the point for tonight. The belief should come from your neshama's memories of what was. So that's where your belief should come from. Your belief should come from, my belief has to come at a certain point from my neshama niggling at me and telling me, this isn't it. There's something that we're missing that you don't know. You know, Mr. Guy, you know, you think this is the life. You don't know that this is not it. This is a way of getting to the other place. But we need Mashiach. We need a Beis HaMikdash. We need the world to come. We need all these lofty things that we're talking about. So this isn't it. Don't get fooled by what you see. But listen and trust in me that this is the purpose. They need a lot of faith to follow your niggling feeling of your soul, as opposed to seeing what's in front of our eyes. For somebody to say that I'm going to devote my life based on this faith, That's a big leap of faith, because we don't see it. In Yerushalayim, in the days of old, it was pretty easy. You saw it. But today, do we see this? The only way we know it is because of this recalling and this memory that we have, that our soul yearns for something bigger than what we have today. And we need to put a lot of faith in that feeling. We need to put a lot of faith in something that we don't see at all. Now, like everything that's hard, it comes with a good part and a hard part. The hard part is, are we going to believe? Are we going to believe? Are we going to take that leap of faith? But what's the good news? The good news is that if we do, we've done a bigger feat than any generation before us has done. And this is going to segue us into what we need to talk about every year, how it could be that our generation is going to bring Mashiach. How could it be that we're greater than all these generations before us? And the way we're saying it right now is like this. The further you go away from the source, the more that it looks like it's broken, the more faith you need to believe that it's not broken. The more it looks like that it's disconnected, the more it looks like we're dead, the more faith is needed to say that it's still alive. As we go further, and it looks like we're dying more and more and more and more, the faith that is needed becomes bigger and bigger. The test of faith has never been bigger than before. If we take that leap of faith and we say today, I am willing to invest my entire life on the basis that this is the purpose, that there is something bigger than what my eye sees. We've done something bigger than was ever done before. Now, does that make sense? If you would ask me like this, if you would ask me, are we doing mitzvahs with bigger and kavana than the holy Ariza? Right? Who did it? Who knew what he was doing more when they put on that tefillah? Me or the Ariza? You don't have to answer. You could answer. I won't even be offended. Of course. Right. I didn't hear what you said, but I'm assuming you said me.
I've seen you, Davin, and I know Davin, so therefore, that's who I would connect to. You're Davining. The Davining, though I was in Safat, I felt it, but I can't guarantee that you're any less than the RE.
I agree with you, but I want to explain why that is the case. I want to explain to you why that is. His intentions, what he knew about the upper world and what he was doing with his prayer, no one should think that we know what we came to the toes of what he knew. That's clear. But there's one area that we could shine. Because imagine you know all these words. Imagine you see them with a clarity, and Arizal saw them. How much faith do you need to live your life a certain way? Like the Torah writes, you don't need that much faith because you see. Imagine you would see that if we don't do this mitzvah, then, you know, 1,000 spiritual worlds up there are going to be blown up. Imagine we would see that. We wouldn't need that much faith. It would be, don't do this. But you take a Jew today, and the Jew doesn't see no spiritual worlds. We don't see anything. We don't see a thing. We need to believe that if I don't do this mitzvah, that will happen. So our faith is being tested so much more. If we still daven like the Arizal daven, the intentions aren't the same, but we're coming with our faith because we're saying that we don't see anything what you say. We don't see a thing. We don't see a thing, but what we do have is that we believe that this is the life we should be living. And the Sfasamus writes in so many different places, and this is our comfort. He says, what's the game plan? You know, what is the game plan with this generation? He was talking in his days, so you can imagine about our days. What is the game plan? You know, what are we going to bring to the table? And he writes, Hashem did us a favor. And what he did for us was he took everything away. No one today knows close to what they knew in generations before. But he said, all you need to do today to be eligible is just to believe. Because that's already the biggest thing. The Jew today could say that I'm willing to bank I'm willing to invest my life. I'm not going to work on Shabbos. I'm going to, whatever it may be, I'm going to stop, just in general, invest my day. I'm going to, how many hours do we devote to prayer and Torah study? It's unbelievable if we think about it, right? Each one of us, how many hours of our life, if we would count, have been devoted to prayer and Torah study? Thousands and thousands of hours. Imagine what we could have done in those hours. How much other stuff we could have done. We invested. Why did we invest? Because we believe. And we believe that this is a worthwhile investment. That is something that as the generations go further and further away, that test of belief becomes harder. And if we succeed, we've done something bigger than has ever been done before. Not bigger in intent, but bigger in its belief. So, we spoke about a couple of things. Let me summarize. Started off saying that Eicha Yashva Vada means how is it that we're sitting alone? What does it mean that Yerushalayim is alone? What that means is that disconnected. Yerushalayim, and it says in Tehillim, Ke'ir Shechubra Layachtav. It was the city that brought heaven and earth together. And that is gone. Beis HaMikdash is gone. Yerushalayim today may be teeming with people, but it's not a city that's connected like it used to be. Then we went on to say, but wait a second, if it's not connected, then it's all over. So we quoted the other verse that says that Jerusalem recalls all the treasures that were hers from the days of old. And we explained that if you recall something, if you remember something, that means that it's there, just hidden. That means that this connection is still here. It's just covered and covered and covered. But the connection is there. If you go deep, you'll know, the soul knows that this connection is still alive. And then we explained that the way of the connection today is through tears, is through crying about not having. One way of connecting to Hashem is through singing, through Shir HaShirim. The other way of connecting to Hashem is through crying about how I don't feel you. If I'm crying that I don't feel you, that in itself is my biggest statement of saying that I'm connected to you, so why is it I don't feel you? If we're not connected, then of course I don't feel you. But if we're crying and we're saying, why is it that I don't feel you? Because I should feel you, because my soul knows that we are connected. So why am I not feeling you? I'm going to cry. Which way would we prefer to connect? Through Shir HaShir. But we don't have that today. Hashem said, today you connect through crying. Through crying about not feeling this connection. And then the final piece that we explained was like this, that Yerushalayim is a city of faith. And today, what we bring to the table in this connection, the less we feel the connection, the more we're tested in our faith. Are we still going to cry and mourn about this connection that we really have? Are we still going to invest our lives in a something which we don't see? Just something that we believe in. If you see it, you don't need belief. You don't see it, you need belief. The less you see it, the more amuna that is needed. So, what are we going to accomplish this Tisha B'Av? Well, hopefully Mashiach is going to come. But what we really want to accomplish is we want to try, and like I say, it's maybe the hardest time of year to connect. But we want to try and recall from deep in that we do have this connection. We want to try and mourn about something that we don't have. Because if we mourn about it, then what we're saying is that we do have it. If we don't mourn, if we don't care about it, then what we're saying is that it was cut up. So why am I crying about it? It was cut up. If I do cry about it, even if we can't shed an actual tear, if I could somehow feel somewhere inside me that I'm missing, then that statement of saying that I'm missing is saying that I have it. And that's why I'm missing it, because I really do have it. That is what we're trying to show Hashem. And then we need to tell Hashem that even though we don't feel it, even though we're crying, we're sitting on the floor, but I believe in this, and I'm willing to invest my life in this mission. Even though I don't feel it, I still believe. When we do that, Hashem will hear us. He will say, you still believe, even though it almost looks as if you guys are dead, like the Vilna Gaon, right? You still believe? Out of exile, let's bring Mashiach, Beis HaMikdash, speedily in our days.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Should have a, I'm sorry, just before you leave, public service announcement. next week is Tisha B'Av, and then after that, it calls on summer break. for the next like two, I think it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So I think this will, we'll take a little break if that's okay with you. And I will, if you're on the WhatsApp group, Karizana, David, I don't know if you get the videos that I do, but I will, keep on doing, sending those when I can.
Yeah.
So we'll try and, try and keep that going through the break, not every day, but for sure on Friday or maybe one other time of the week. And hope we have a good fast. Should feel well, everybody, whoever's able to fast. And Mashiach should come. We should see you all in Yerushalayim with the city that, the city of connection. That's where we should next meet.
Alright.
And we won't, need Zoom anymore.
Alright. Have a good Shabbos.
Okay, good Shabbos. All the best.